The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Thank you very much, Andisa. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good to have you back with us again. And, you know, this morning we had a whole thing rolled out for you guys. As to, there's this guy on TikTok now talking about divorce.
Yeah.
You see, he's a lawyer.
You know, it have several persons talking about divorce on
this
TikTok.
This one man coming up with the part series.
I'm not sure exactly who you're talking about, but I know that there was this recently called attorney at law who gives legal advice, kind of on TikTok.
Yeah. But I know we was going on that this morning. However, we didn't get a chance. But I really want to touch on this thing here on page 9. A man from Arima with a criminal record of 25 pending cases.
Yes.
What does the word pending case mean?
So the thing about it, if it is a pending case, that means that they haven't been convicted for any particular crime as yet. The matter is still before the court.
I wanted to make that clear.
Yes.
And I wanted an attorney to tell me that.
So, and this also, you know, if they haven't been convicted, there's always the presumption that that person is innocent until proven guilty.
Right.
So that's here, the first
thing. So here's my thing. Uh-huh. So you're innocent 25 times.
We have to figure it out. I've seen persons got several cases dismissed, if you're being honest. So until this person actually goes to the court and they are convicted of a particular crime, they are innocent until proven guilty. They may have previous convictions, though. He may have convictions within those 25. We never know. I didn't necessarily see.
Yeah. I didn't see that. Here's what I saw. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I saw. Right. So they said prosecutors objected to the bail.
Right.
Based on his lengthy.
Yeah.
Criminal record,
right,
which includes pending cases for firearm possessions, robbery, and shooting offenses. So this says lengthy criminal record,
right,
which includes. So
right.
So it. So the record means that which include. You see, I understand in the legal jargon here.
Mm-hmm.
Is it that he was convicted in the past and now he has 25 cases pending?
So 25 times. That's the thing with it. So when a person is charged and when you're dealing with the issue of bail, the state would have to produce their criminal record, and that will detail all their pending and their conviction. So if a matter was dismissed for whatever reason, you'll see that matter was dismissed there. They'll send you like a whole list, a sheet of all the matters that involve this particular person. If they were even driving without a license, it will show up there. So it probably included pending matters, but he may have had convictions. We can't necessarily speculate. But before they consider bail, the prosecution will have to produce the person's criminal record so that the court and defense attorney and the state would have an idea of the person's antecedents of what occurred before. Yeah. The issue of bail is always very touchy Let me hear what you want to know about that particular
case. Here's what's going on. You ever sat on the opposite side of prosecutor?
No, I've never been.
You've
a
always
prosecutor,
been a defense
attorney. Yeah.
All right, cool. When it comes to this, you would always seek bail for your client.
Yeah, you.
That's the objective of you, to keep your client in the free will.
Yeah.
So, 25 cases of robbery,
right?
Ammunition possession.
Right.
25.
Right.
And you saying to me that there are cases where persons get acquitted from multiple offenses, multiple charges was...
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that open the floodgates for malicious prosecution? Because that's basically what you're telling me
here. If a matter is dismissed, or if a person, for whatever reason, at the end of it, they are released, they could go to the court, and they often do.
So...
It could be for several reasons. So, for instance, if the person... when they were initially charged, you know, sometimes the police officers don't necessarily bring them before the court as quick as they should. So they would have been at the police station, so let me say around 5 days. Then they were brought before the court. When they went before the court, bail was denied. And then they spent 6 months in custody. They will then say, if the case was dismissed at the end of it, well, I had to spend 5 days at the police station, 6 months in at the jail. And all that will be considered when determining how much money to award this particular person.
Mm-hmm. Ma'am, I real pissed. I listen.
No, but the thing about it is, bail is a constitutional right, essentially. So Section 5(2)(f)(3) of the Constitution says, firstly, that a person is presumed innocent until proven guilty according to law. And they are also allowed reasonable bail without just cause. So That's the first starting point. The thing about it is, there was an amendment to the Bail Act after, I believe, the Akili Charles decision, where they allowed bail for murder. And there was an amendment where if a person is charged for murder, it wouldn't be the regular bail considerations. You would have to prove, the defense attorney, the accused person would have to prove that there's exceptional circumstances for this person to be released. What exactly is exceptional circumstances is still kind of up in the air. For certain, I've seen somebody being released if they are sick, if they need to go and get cancer treatment, things like that. But what exactly is exceptional circumstances, in my opinion, is still up in the air. I believe that it is currently before Justice of Appeal Lucky and some other Justice of Appeal to clarify that particular area of law. But if a person, it also included, if a person has previous convictions that are scheduled offences, which includes firearm offences, the person would then have to show sufficient cause. So it kind of adds an additional hurdle that they would have to overcome before they obtain bail. So it isn't just that a person has a whole long rap sheet and they could go and get caught and bail easily. The Bail Amendment Act says that they would have to prove sufficient cause if they have previous convictions that are scheduled offences, and one of those scheduled offences includes firearm and ammunition offences.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Good morning. Hello?
Morning. Hey, DV.
Tell me.
Morning, Trinidad and Tobago Morales here. DV, you know, our past Chief Justice, all due respect to him, he need to really, and the President, one good morning to President Chief Justice, Mr. Abudu Singh. DV, good morning to the Prime Minister, Attorney General, all the people in the legal fraternity. Davey, you know we need that to get together, Davey. You can't tell me what are apparently like we have to put a robbery court one side, because what I observe, this robbery thing is happening, and what's happening, robberies happening so fast that the old cases, you're unable to attend to the old cases because so many new robberies coming on board. So we need to kind of pull that apart. It's definitely impossible to deal with robberies effectively, having them line up behind the present court system. But David, this man 25 times, that goes to show, David, that there's the bail, the access of bail, there's something wrong with that, because for him 25 times, this man, according to allegedly, I mean, he's charged basically 25 times, 25 offenses, and to be able to access bail again, and the court now is unable to really deal with these cases that are ahead of them effectively. So something we can have, better we put those fellas, baby, to be Chief Justice and thing, and let the other fellas demand the authorities, because apparently they seem to be doing a better job than I mean not kidding it, but I mean the beating the system. Jump higher, jump low.
All right, beating thanks. The system. All right.
Bless on, bye.
Thank you very much. Good morning, quickly.
Let me start with the lawyers, David. The lawyers have so much a case pending that the cannot has passed a law for lawyers, and anything more than 5 cases, no more cases, no more, do not take no more cases. These lawyers, greedy lawyers, have plenty of cases pending and they can't handle it. The police not appearing in court, they take a the whole system is rotten and sick.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
Good
new lawyer, how could you explain that a person is innocent until proven guilty? Yet it has people in Romania who is there for 10, 15
yeah.
years. So explain that to me. They're innocent until proven guilty, yet you locking them up, or the state locking them up. And due to the inefficiency, or whatever reasons the state gives, the whole amount for 15 years, yet it's still saying that he's innocent until proven guilty. I have a solution for that. But
all right, thanks. What your response is to that? I mean,
yeah,
you have a lot of calls coming in for this.
So essentially, persons are innocent until proven guilty. And in Trinidad and Tobago, in the Constitution, it doesn't say that the person, well, it kind of does, but we know that there are hiccups in our system where persons spend a significant amount of time in remand waiting for their matter to be heard. And to me, that's kind of an injustice that those persons serve. So sometimes when persons get bail, the whole point of a person receiving bail isn't that we recognize that this person should be out in the free world etc., the main and the foremost consideration of the court is whether this person would appear for their trial. So instead of keeping somebody in remand for a significant amount of time until their matter is determined, they would grant the person bail, and once they are satisfied, sufficiently satisfied in court. So there are persons on remand for a significant number of years, and sometimes at the end of that, their matter is either dismissed or they are found innocent. And in my opinion, that is a hiccup in the system.
Wow. So, okay. Good morning.
A pleasant good morning, Davey. A pleasant good morning to Learned Counsel. I didn't really want to get involved in this conversation, and there are reasons for that. However, what I think is missing from the conversation is that, yes, a person is innocent until pleaded guilty. If it is that he had 25 matters pending, he may be innocent of all, but he may very well be guilty in all or some. But my contribution is that his attorney or any attorney can plead for their client that it's a bailable offense, and he should be given bail, and the issue of innocence remains possible. However, the judicial officer has to consider, and I didn't hear that in the conversation, and that's why I called. The judicial officer has to consider all the circumstances, including the plea by the attorney, and the judicial officer makes the decision. Now, I feel I deny that, but anyway, let me not say that. Devi, if it is that the judicial officer is of the opinion that granting bail for this person will allow him to commit other crimes, that is one of the reasons he will deny the bail. So I understand all of that, but I thought I should add that to the conversation. But many JPs, when they're going to, they go to grant bail, they don't go to consider the things and to deny. Some of them are trained, some of them may not be trained. Davey, I personally trained some of them, and I can tell you, I heard Eric talk about JPs not trained. That's not very true. Eric, when you don't know, don't say. JPs are trained to do a few things. They may not be trained in everything in law, but with bail and warrants, they are trained. Most of them are trained. And as I leave here, I would say, many times the police say we're not granting bail. It's not the police grant the bail. They can object to bail. It's the judicial officer who decides whether bail is granted or not. I thank you, Joy.
Yeah. All right. I want to say two things. One, in relation to the previous caller as well, I do want to give at least credit to our lawmakers and to the judiciary. There was the AJIPA, Administration of Justice Indictable Proceedings Act, which now at the first initial hearing, at least for indictable proceedings, the master gives a scheduling order. So it states that this file has to be sent to the DPP by this date. This has to be disclosed to the defense counsel by this date. We are coming back by this date to ensure that everything is done. Well, obviously, there must be additional directions as well, and we'll have a sufficiency hearing by this date. So it sets a schedule in which the matter should be heard, and it kind of speeds up the process. And if it doesn't, then the matter will be dismissed. Or if they find that there is sufficient evidence, mm-hmm. then it will be transferred to a judge for it to proceed to trial. And that has decreased the amount of time that matters take before the court as well. And yes, he is right. The ultimate decision lies in the judicial officer, and there will be several considerations that they will consider when determining whether to grant bail. So one will be, for instance, and let me read out Section 6 of the Bail Act, mm-hmm. the nature and seriousness of the defense, the character, antecedents, association, and social ties of the defendant, the antecedents, of course, being the person's criminal record, mm-hmm. the defendant's record with respect to the fulfillment of his obligations under previous grants of bail in criminal proceedings. So he may have 25 pending matters, but in all 25 pending matters, he comes to court, we never have an issue finding him. He goes at the Bessel Street Police Station every Monday and Tuesday and signs as required. He complies with the bail conditions that he have in his other matters. So there are several factors that the court will consider, and it isn't a situation where even though a person has several convictions for firearm, etc., as I said, under the Bail Amendment Act, they created a hurdle firstly for persons who are charged with murder that they must show exceptional circumstances, which is, in my opinion, an extreme burden to cross. There's currently a case before the court where attorneys and the accused persons are trying to figure out what exactly exceptional circumstances mean. And obviously, if there are offences in the schedule, as I said before, which includes firearm and ammunition, they will have to show sufficient cause, which is an additional burden on the accused person in order to grant at least to access bail. And all those factors the judicial officer will consider when determining whether to grant this person bail. And then on top of that, they might impose conditions. You have to go to the Bessel Street or whichever police station is closest to you on these particular days. You have to surrender your passport. You have to go inside by 6 o'clock. You have a curfew. So there are often conditions that are set on this. You have to remain at this particular location. You can't change your address. If you want to change your address, you have to vary the bail order. So there are often conditions that are put in place when granting bail as well.
One person is saying, innocence does not mean you're not guilty of something. This is a profound legal adage, I believe. The person also said, a person can be innocent, not convicted, or not proven guilty in courts while still being factually guilty, having actually committed the act. In law, innocence is not a positive declaration that you did nothing wrong. It simply means the prosecution could not meet the required burden of proof.
Yeah, well, that is our judicial system in a nutshell. So it is up for the prosecution to do their investigation as best as possible so that they will have all the evidence before the court to ensure that this person is convicted if they are in fact guilty. And the whole point of this is to go through the judicial system to ensure that persons aren't placed behind bars who are actually innocent. So there are all these checks and balances, and there are all these requirements to meet. They have to prove the person is guilty beyond a reasonable doubt, etc., to ensure that we don't place innocent persons behind bars. But that's essentially just our judicial system in a nutshell. And it isn't that we are trying to get persons out on technicalities and things like that. It's just that the prosecution is the one who has the burden to prove, and the prosecution has to ensure, including the police officers, that they have all the evidence before them. And that is why our entire justice system should work efficiently, the forensics, the police officers, the judicial officers, etc., so that when a case goes before the court, they actually have the evidence required to convict the person if they are in fact guilty. And even as defense counsel, my first obligation isn't to my client. My first obligation is to the court. Just recently, a judicial officer indicated you are an officer of the court. So it isn't that I'm just going there to try to hoodwink the court to get this person out. We are going through the judicial system to ensure that all the checks done, to ensure that if this person was interviewed, they wasn't interviewed under threat and duress to give a confession statement. And the evidence before the court is meeting the requirement necessary to ensure that this person is convicted. We are all officers of the court ensuring that justice is served, essentially. And that's how I see my role within this justice system, essentially.
Do we have attorney-client privilege in this country?
Yeah, we do.
We do. Yes. So if a person commits an act, I really rob the person, I really beat up and I rape the man, wife, whatever, you commit this act, can they confess that to you?
Well,
so they walk in your office. In your office and they sit down.
Yeah.
And they say they have this case going, and you come to see them. They hire you. They send for you, and you come in as the attorney, and they tell you, "Yeah, boy, I really do it, but I need to win this."
At that point in time, it's up to you, based on the attorney, to determine what to do next. You can go and tell this person, "Well, I'm not particularly going to this court," and you could come off record, and you wouldn't necessarily do that particular matter. But never, in my experience, at least, they don't ever come say, "Yeah, it's me." They usually come and hide. The police wicked, da, 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 whatever. They tell you what went on. But you know, there are things that you could do. If this person comes and they say, "Well, you know, I really did it," etc., etc., you could enter plea agreements with the prosecution to get a sentence for that person.
That is, you could, but yeah. Is it that if your client does not want you to and say, "Listen, I'm telling you one time, yeah, I really do it, right? But this is what happened. You need to get more."
So some things override the obligation. So some things override the privilege, that is. So if someone confesses a crime, that could possibly override the obligation. at the end of the day, it boils down to the particular attorney and what they would do in the situation. But there are several avenues that you could explore if a person comes on, confesses. Because the thing about it is, if a person is charged for a crime, it is currently before the courts, and they decide to plead guilty, they would actually receive a wanted discount. So you, as an attorney, at that point could then advise them, well, even based on the evidence, I've received disclosure, I've seen the evidence that the state have against you, more than like you might be convicted at the end of this. It might be better for you to do a MSI, which is a maximum sentence indicator, and the court will tell you what would be the maximum sentence that will be given if you plead guilty. Obviously, they will consider things including your guilty plea and give you a wanted discount as a result. So it's up to you as the attorney at that position to then advise the person on what would be the best option.
What if, I know you had a go.
Mm-hmm.
What if the guilty person says, I did it, but when you asked for full disclosure,
mm-hmm.
All right, so you accept the case, you went for what is called for mention,
mm-hmm.
All right, you get bail, because the person was arrested Friday, they went to court Monday,
yeah.
They call you ask for disclosure.
Yeah.
They get bail. They were granted bail with conditions, so they outside had a deal with you.
Yeah.
The next court hearing coming up, after for mention means, okay, so the case is mentioned. What happens next? Quickly.
So essentially, when the person is based on if it's a summary offense
criminal offense.
Yes, both is criminal offense, but one would just be before the magistrate court, one would be before the high court, indictable summary offenses. If it is an indictable proceedings, as I said, it will go before a master. The master will set the scheduling order, indicate what will have to happen, go to the sufficiency hearing to determine if there's sufficient evidence to move forward. Essentially, the state will tender all their evidence, in paper, though. So
right.
It wouldn't be where persons are coming and giving evidence. They'll be giving the statements. We go to the trial. The person will elect if they want judge alone, judge and jury.
No, we ain't reached that far yet.
Uh-huh.
We're backing it up a little bit. So, mm-hmm. Right. So after the aforementioned, right,
uh-huh.
You have an next court hearing coming up. You ask for full disclosure. So you want to know, full disclosure is what the officers have on them.
Yeah.
When you get the evidence now, you realize that the evidence, you could win this. If you don't, but the person said, I really do it, but we had a win. But you realize the evidence is not, the police can't really convict them with this. This evidence is circumstantial. But you already get an admission of guilt. But when you look at the evidence, because you're not mentioned, if I see the evidence and I realize this can lose, you will advise them. But this evidence is showing that, they don't have.
But the thing about it, even if a person has heaps and heaps of evidence against them, I've seen my seniors beat the cases as well. So it, especially if it's a judge.
But are you obligated to tell the court that the person guilty?
You under client. Well, I mean, the privilege might cover it, but I'm saying that it will be up to the attorney. I can't tell an attorney what to do. It will be up to the attorney to determine what they want to do next. Your first obligation is to the court.
All right.
And you should treat it like that. But
right.
I know that there are attorneys who...
May not.
Right.
We'll talk about that. I know you have to go, and I have to go. The news is up next, guys. We'll talk to Andisa next week. All right? Stick around.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.